Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Today, we take a look at the book of Exodus, chapter 32, verses 7 to 14. The Lord said to Moses, "Go down at once to your people, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt, for they have become depraved. They have soon turned aside from the way I pointed out to them, making for themselves a molten calf and worshiping it." Let me stop there. You can say, aren't they that stupid, worshiping just pieces of metal? Brothers and sisters, what about us? What do we worship? In other words, what gets your most time, attention, energy? If it's things for others, blessed be God. Where does your time, your attention, your money go? How much of it is for self? How much of it is for self-gratification? You're indicating by the time and the energy that you spend what you value. Think about that. Where your time, your attention, your energy, your money goes. If it's family, blessed be God. You're in the right direction. But if it's just for self, you work yourself to death so that you have or accumulate all this money or power or prestige. We really need to look at this, brothers and sisters, because we are so caught up as God recedes from the landscape, so to speak. What's filling our time and our attention and our money, what's filling all of that is the focus on self. It's idolatry. It's called idolatry. Either a worship of something else that actually that worship belongs to God and you're giving it to something else. Time, attention, and energy that should go to God is being given to someone else or something else. Or time, attention, and energy which should be given to family is going somewhere else. What are you doing? Are you really worshiping God? Or are you worshiping false gods, idols? We really need to look at this, all of us, honestly, forthrightly. They have soon turned aside from the way I pointed out to them, making for themselves a molten calf and worshiping it, sacrificing to it and crying out, "This is your God, O Israel, who brought you out of the land of Egypt." We would look at that and say, silly, but we're doing that. We're doing that. The stock market, for many people, has become their God. Think about it. What have you put in the place of God in your life? Where's your time, your attention, your money, your energy? Where is it going? Is it going to God and the things of God and certainly care for family and having a proper income for the responsibilities you have? Of course those things are important. But even they, important as they are, cannot take the place of God. Take a look. The Lord said to Moses, "I see how stiff-necked this people is. Let me alone them, that my wrath may blaze up against them to consume them. Then I will make of you a great nation." So in one way, God's offering Moses a way out of his headaches and pain and suffering. "Then I will make of you a great nation." So he makes this promise. Let my wrath blaze up. Let's destroy them. But Moses implored the Lord his God, saying, once you notice this, Moses, he could have gotten out of trouble. He could have gotten out of the wrath of the people. They were always against him, always asking for help, and then not following God after they got the help. Moses had one large headache, I'm sure, most of his life, and he could have gotten freedom from all that. But Moses implored the Lord his God, saying, "Why, O Lord, should your wrath blaze up against your own people, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt with such great power and with so strong a hand? Why should the Egyptians say, with evil intent he brought them out, that he might kill them in the mountains and exterminate them from the face of the earth. In other words, the pagans are going to look and say, well, if that's their God, who would want that God? Look what he did to them. Let your blazing wrath die down. Relent in punishing your people. Remember your servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, and how you swore to them by your own self, saying, I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and all this land that I promised, I will give your descendants as their perpetual heritage. So Moses is being, here's the epitome, brothers and sisters, of being an intercessor. Moses stands before the face of God and pleads for the people who have almost killed him by their actions, almost destroyed him. Here he is pleading on their behalf before the face of God. And the Lord relented in the punishment he had threatened to inflict on his people. Moses was righteous. Moses could have said, oh God, thanks for getting me out of that. I don't care about those people. They're always opposing me anyway. Didn't. He pleaded on their behalf. And God saw that Moses had the heart of God. Intercession is one of the most powerful ministries you can be part of, but it costs you, as it cost Moses. He could have taken the easy way out, but he didn't. He stood there on behalf of the people who were sinful, who were selfish, who were everything that you wouldn't want. But he stood before God on their behalf. Remember us, O Lord, as you favor your people. Remember us. These people had made a calf in Horeb. They had adored a molten image. They exchanged their glory for the image of a grass-eating bullock, an idol. They forgot the God who had saved them, who had done great deeds in Egypt, wondrous deeds in the land of Ham, terrible things at the Red Sea. He spoke of exterminating them, Psalm 106. But at Moses, his chosen one, withstood him in the breach to turn back his destructive wrath. Certain way, God was trying Moses here, and Moses came through shining. He forgot himself and thought of the people and realized that there were many of them too dumb to see. Sometimes we're that too. Gospel of John, chapter 5, verses 31 to 47. Jesus said to the Jews, if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is not true. But there is another who testifies on my behalf, and I know that the testimony he gives on my behalf is true. You sent emissaries to John, and he testified to the truth. I do not accept human testimony, but I say this so that you may be saved. He was a burning and shining lamp, and for a while you were content to rejoice in his light. But I have testimony greater than John's. The works that the Father gave me to accomplish, these works that I perform, testify on my behalf that the Father has sent me. Moreover, the Father who sent me has testified on my behalf. But you have never heard his voice nor seen his form, and you do not have his word remaining in you because you do not believe in the one whom he has sent. You search the scriptures because you think you have eternal life through them. Even they testify on my behalf, but you do not want to come to me to have life. In other words, they turn to everything else. You do not come to me to have life. And isn't that true of us? How many other things do we turn to when we want happiness or we want security or we want health? Yes, there are good providers that God has given us, good doctors, good medical people to help us. But do we turn to God first? God's gift can be an outstanding doctor. I've had that in my own life. But do we bring everything to God? Do we ask God for healing? Even while we use prudence and turn to good medical help, do we look to God first? I do not accept human praise. Moreover, I know that you do not have the love of God in you. I came in the name of my Father, but you do not accept me. Yet if another comes in his own name, you will accept him. How can you believe when you accept praise from one another and do not seek the praise that comes from the only God? Do not think that I will accuse you before the Father. The one who will accuse you is Moses, in whom you have placed your hope. For if you had believed Moses, you would have believed me. In other words, you didn't really believe anybody. If you had believed Moses, you would have believed me, because he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? Brothers and sisters, the questions here certainly apply to the Jews of that time. But I think we could write out similar questions for ourselves. Do you believe this? Why do you believe that? Why have you put your trust there? Why have you not come to me? Over and over, God could ask us. We need to be in a place to answer. And the best answer is to say, Lord, I failed. Lord, I have turned to all that this life has to offer before turning to you. Will you please forgive me? Help me to put my trust in you. Help me to look to you first in everything. Help me. That's what breaks the bonds of pride and arrogance. When we turn to the Lord, when we tell the Lord, I've sinned, I've fallen short, I've depended more on the things of this world than I depend on you. I depend more on other people's advice than I depend on your word. I've made money and power, sometimes sex or drugs. I've made them the gods of my life. I admit my sin. I want you to be my Lord and Savior. I want to be able to worship you. I want to be able to follow you. I want to be known as your son. I want to be known as your disciple. That's where we need to be. And that's where God wants to bring us. That's what God wants to do for us. So I really, brothers and sisters, I really urge you, as we come over the hump of Lent, we're in the latter part of Lent. We're kind of in the middle, but a little over that. It's really, seriously, a time to take stock. It's very serious. Because, brothers and sisters, as I said to you before, so many people are walking in darkness. So many people don't know the light of life that comes from God himself. You and I are supposed to be his servants, his disciples. Let the light shine out from you. And it shines out when we repent of our sin, when we seek to follow him, when we put him first, when we put our faith in him. Then the light begins to shine out through us. May it be so for you and for all those you love and all those you work with. God bless you. All of us at one time or another in our lives have to endure suffering. How do we suffer as a disciple of Christ? For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free 800 number, 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.